Certainly good to see everyone tonight. We appreciate you being here. And if you are visiting, we certainly thank you for your presence with us here tonight. I believe most of us realize that the book of Acts is an exciting, thrilling book telling of the phenomenal growth of that first century church. The 10 days of prayer in Acts chapter 1 spark the 3,000 conversions in Acts chapter 2. Peter's acts of mercy and compassion in Acts 9 helped lead people in Sharon and Joppa to the Lord. And in Acts 4, we see one more vital ingredient, the spoken word. Listen to what Peter and John were doing before we're told about the conversion of some 5,000 people. This is Acts 4, beginning at verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sanhedrin came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Peter and John had been telling people about Jesus. Listen to what bothered the religious leaders and what they forbade the apostles to do. Acts 4, verse 16, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. What bothered them was Peter and John telling other people about Jesus, what they strictly prohibited. Why? Because it was telling others of Jesus that led thousands of people to Christ. Here is what Peter and the others pray for at the end of this conversation, Acts 4, verse 29. "And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence." They prayed to God for boldness to speak to others about Jesus. And I find it insightful that they didn't pray, "Lord, stop their threats, stop this persecution, stop all of this that's going on now." But they said, "Lord, you take note of their threats, but you give and grant your bondservants to speak your word with all confidence and with all boldness." Sometimes this is one thing we are hesitant to do. One thing that sometimes I'll have to admit that I'm hesitant to do. We pray for the lost. We show them mercy and compassion. But speaking to others about Jesus is something that at times we have a hard time doing. Why did these early Christians talk so freely about Jesus when we talk so little about him? What makes evangelism so difficult? I would venture to say there are two main reasons why it is difficult: fear of rejection and lack of passion. Fear of rejection and lack of passion. We don't talk to others because we're afraid of being rejected, and we have somehow lost our passion. Let's look at what Acts 4 says about those two issues. First, the lack of passion. How do we rekindle that passion? And what gave these early Christians such a passion? Well, number one, their relationship with Jesus gave them a passion. Acts 4, verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard.'" So they could not stop speaking about what they had seen and heard. What had they seen? What had they heard? One word: Jesus. In Acts 4, verse 13, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." Peter and John had been with Jesus, and what they had seen and heard had so impacted them that they couldn't help sharing him with others. Before we share the good news, it has to be good news to us. Evangelism flows out of a living, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we want to renew that passion, if we want to renew that relationship, let me encourage us to reread one of the Gospels. Reread a little bit of it every day. Reinvestigate the life of the one who has changed all of our lives. And the good news becomes better to us when we share it with someone else. But number two, their desire to obey Jesus gave them passion. Acts 4, verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge.'" For Peter and John, it was as simple as this. They had been commanded to speak about Jesus. Remaining silent was not an option. In Acts 1, you may recall, the Lord commissioned them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it was their desire to obey Jesus that I believe gave them a passion to speak. We too have an obligation to speak about Jesus. This is 1 Peter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." If we want to renew our passion, I believe that we must see evangelism as an act of obedience. But then number three, their belief about Jesus gave them a passion to speak. Acts 4, verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." So Peter declares in no uncertain terms that there is salvation in no one else. If we believe that, no one could keep us quiet. If we believe that, we would be telling other people about him. We would be doing our best to invite people to our Bible classes and to our worship services. That may be an opportunity for us to continue to share the good news of Christ with them. Lack of passion. Three things that fuel that passion: our relationship with Jesus, our desire to obey Jesus, in our belief about Jesus. But I believe fear also inhibits our desire to speak. What might happen if we start talking to other people about Jesus? That coworker might label you a religious fanatic. You could alienate a family member. You will in all likelihood hear, "Well, I'm just not interested." What happened to Peter and John when they talked to people about Jesus? They were put in jail. Yet they kept on talking. They were threatened by the local leaders. Yet they kept on talking. They were beaten. Yet they kept on talking. Acts 5 concludes, they took his advice, the advice of Gamaliel, to kind of settle that situation at that point. And after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council. And this has always been an amazing line to me, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. My point, we have nothing to fear compared with these early Christians. Note three powerful imperatives from Acts chapter 5. Go, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life. Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now, when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. Three powerful imperatives here. Go. Going is imperative. It's not optional. We've got to put the go back into the gospel. Stand. Standing suggests that we must take a firm stand, a strong stand against all error and for the truth of the gospel. Speak. The gospel is to be proclaimed, both public and from house to house, as we saw illustrated here with the apostles in Acts chapter 5. Well, the book of Acts reveals a revival the like which we have never seen. Thousands of people coming to faith, churches planted all over the Roman Empire, revival sparked by prayer, fueled by acts of service and carried on by Christians telling non-Christians about Jesus. Remember how they were described there in Acts chapter 4, that these are just some ordinary, unschooled, untrained men. And there are some 69 references in Acts of Christians telling non-Christians about Jesus. How did they spark such a revival? To put it simply, they spoke. I've been deeply challenged by these texts here in Acts 4 and Acts 5. Certainly, God invites us to pray for the lost. He wants us to show care and compassion and concern for the lost. But he also calls upon us to share our faith with others. Go, stand, and speak. Will you not tell it today? If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if His love has been constant and tender to you, if the light of His presence has guided your way, has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? We're going to sing that in just a moment, I believe. Appreciate you having that song there, Sergeant. Will you not tell it today? So let me encourage all of us here tonight, just continue to pray to God for opportunities to share the good news. Paul asked the Colossian brethren to pray for him, that God would open up a door so that I may speak forth the word of God in a clear, concise way. So Paul was asking his brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for him that he might have open doors. So I want you to pray that that will happen with me, and I want to pray the same thing for all of you, that God will open up doors for each one of you to go out there and to share your faith with someone else. And if that means we need to ruin our passion, I hope we can do that. And I mean that if that means that we just need to not be concerned so much about the fear factor, the fear of rejection, the fear of being labeled, the fear of just hearing, well, I'm just not interested. Do not let that discourage you from doing what Christ has called each one of us to do. And I certainly need to pray myself that God will enhance my evangelistic fervor, that I will do a better job of going out there on a daily basis with the people with whom I come into contact, and when I have opportunity, that I will be able to share with them the good news of Christ. Will you not tell it today? That's my challenge for all of us who are occupying these pews tonight. The young people, the young professionals, the middle age, our seniors, all of us. That's my challenge. Let's go out there and let's tell that message today. Let's follow the example of those apostles that we have just been studying about here in Acts 4 and Acts 5. Because again, they were strictly forbidden. You must stop speaking in this name. Whether it's right in the sight of God to do that, you be the judge. But for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And I pray that that will be the attitude that each of us will try to have. That I cannot help. I cannot stop speaking about the one who has made such a difference in my life. If there's anyone here tonight who's ready to respond to the gospel through faith, repentance, baptism, we're here to help you. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you. And so if there's any way that we can serve you tonight, would you please come and let us know how we can do that as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.